Good morning. Morning, one and all. Good morning, Drift Run Church. God bless every all of you for making it out this way today. Got some visitors here that a family of ours. Praise God. You know, I thank the good Lord for all of them. I get emotional because I tell you this. Because of their grandparents. You know, because of their faithfulness. You know what? My kids are saved today. These kids are saved today. And praise God. You know what? We live here. We can thank Him for that this morning. Hey, they're here from the warehouse church. They're not having services today. Why? Because they move into their new sanctuary next week. And they're doing that, and I praise God for that. And you know what? They've been up there for a while. I've known them all my life. They can't deny me. They can't deny it, but praise God. Joe, Sam, and Derek, and Cooper, I love them all. So, you know, thank God for them being here this morning. Well, I'm going to be over in the book of Joel this morning. If you would, turn there. We're going to be over to the second chapter. I'm going to read one verse this morning, Joel 2:25. Go to Daniel, go to two books to your right, and that's Joel. Amen. When you get there, please stand. In honor, let's read in honor of God's word here this morning. Joel 2:25. Listen to what it says. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I want to say that again. This is God speaking. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Now, before I pray, I can tell you all this. There's not a one of us in here that the locusts haven't eaten some things down through our years. Amen? There's not a one of us. But can I tell you this morning, this is a promise from God that I'll stand upon, and I will preach to you this morning. We serve a God that can restore those years. Amen. We got a God that can do that. Let us pray. Father, we come, Lord, this morning. We come thanking you, Father, for this scripture. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to be within your house here this morning and to come upon, stand behind this sacred desk. I pray, Lord, for your anointing. I pray, Father, that you would open up the hearts and minds that are out there. And Lord, I know that you're able. You're able above all and beyond what we can even imagine here this morning. And Lord, we will praise you for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. And thank you. You may be seated. I'm reading to you this morning one of the most classic verses in the Bible. Whenever it comes to restoration. Whenever it comes to restoration of those who have been wounded for whatever reason it may be. A little background on the book of Joel. He's mentioned only in two places in the Bible. One of them's right here in the first verse of his own book. And you know where the other one is? It's over in Acts. And it's over there in Acts 2:16 through 21. And then when after the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted Joel, is what he quoted. According to most Bible scholars, the book of Joel was written after both nations have been carried away into captivity. Both of them. And what was left there was the remnant of what had after they'd been carried away. And the prophet was dealing with this remnant. And he was telling them, when the ones that had been left in the land. And Joel was witnessing in chapter 1, he's saying, an invasion of locusts. And what this locust was doing, that it destroyed everything that was green in the land. The grass, the olive trees, everything. If you read the first chapter of this, it destroyed everything. It was so complete, there was nothing left for humans to eat or cattle to eat. That's how complete the judgment was. And just think about this. That wasn't the only thing that happened. If you read on in chapter 1 of Joel, it said that there came a drought. And the drought was so severe that, you know what, the land had burned up and there was brush fires burning everywhere. In all the wells and all the streams and all the brooks, everything, there was just complete burn. And God was so frustrated with their ritualistic worship. If you read over in Joel 1:9, even the meat offerings and the drink offerings were cut off from the house of the Lord. The priest and the Lord's ministers mourned. God took away their ability to worship. Can I tell you something this morning? Listen to me. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth, do we not? And if we do not worship Him in spirit and in truth, I'm going to tell you what, that church is nothing. The people in it are nothing. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is the epitome. What it's talking about here is the epitome of a dead orthodoxy. And God wanted nothing to do with it. I'll tell you what this morning. God doesn't want anything to do with your dead worship. He doesn't want anything to do with your dead trying to praise Him. He wants you to do it with a humble and a sincere heart. That's what God wants. You know what? Over in the New Testament, it said, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou were hot or cold. He would rather one way or the other. And having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know what the Bible says to do with that bunch? It says to turn away from them. Can I tell you a little side note that I wrote down? That, you know, during COVID, well, no matter what you thought about the lockdowns and all that you thought about it, and whether you agree with them or not, that's not what I'm up here to preach about. But did you realize that 20% of the churches shut down, Greg, and didn't open back up? 20% of them shut down and didn't open back up. Most of them may have been good churches. I do not know. But can I tell you what? I believe God's getting His church ready to go out of here. I believe He wants a people that are willing to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? Another study shows that there's going to be over 100,000 churches shut down in the next few years, and most of it's because of COVID as well. Can you believe that? 54% of the churches say that they've had a decline in attendance and a decline in financial. Why? Because, you know what? God's getting us ready. God is still purging the churches today. He's still doing it. Jesus said it best in Matthew chapter 15 when He said this, the people draw nigh with me unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from it. Dalton, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. You know what? I can stand up here and shake your hand all I want. I can do whatever I want and have you do, and you can have all kind of things that you want to do. But brother, when it gets down to it, you better be right in here. You better be right in here. And you know what? The Bible tells me that if the Spirit is not dwelling in you, that you are none of His. That's what He wants. He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. The people had become so numb to the judgment that Joel compared it to someone who was drunk. In verse 5, he said, wake ye drunkards and weep and howl, all ye the drinkers of wine. He's telling them to sober up and get in touch with reality. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where anybody stands in this church this morning. I can't open your heart and look into it. I can't do that. But one thing I can tell you this morning, make sure that you are serving God in truth and that the Spirit of God dwells. I don't mean that you have to shout all over the place. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is to make sure that you are doing it with a humble and true heart. That is why judgment came upon that land at that time, because of what they were doing. Now keep in mind, Joel was talking to a nation. But can I tell you this morning, I believe Joel was talking to individuals as well. I believe he is. But praise God, keep in mind the words of 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture, everything from Genesis 1 clear to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that who? That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect doesn't mean you live a perfect life. It means you're trying to live a perfect life. So even though Joel 2:25 is directed at a nation, we can all raise our hands here this morning, and I can tell you, listen, all of us have had the locust eat some years away from us sometimes. Hosea 6:1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord. And he has torn, he will heal us, he has smitten, and he will bind us up. God is always about restitution. God is always about reconciliation. Is he not? He's always about, read his word. He didn't send his son here. He didn't send him here to die for no reason. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing what? That one individual should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want, please mark the word restore where I'm at there this morning. If you want to, you can mark it. I believe we all understand for something to be restored, something had to be damaged. Something had to be deteriorated. Restore means to bring back. It means return to the former condition. It means repair, renovate, return to its original condition. As used in this morning's text, to return something to something in a better state. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, it became better in this old boy's life. Amen. I wasn't like I was before. I didn't think the way that I used to think. You know what? I may have looked the old same old ugly self, but praise God, I didn't think the same way. And he used this morning to say, listen, let me be straight right up. Only a sovereign and eternal God, only the God who is above and beyond, can speak of restoring years, days, and hours. That's the only one that can do that. We cannot do that. You and I cannot go back and reclaim squandered years. You know, we can't do that. But you know what we can do? We can go from this point on and we can take it and grab a hold of God and we can go forward with it. That's what we can do. In a book that Linda and Craig got me many years ago, it's called My Utmost for His Highest. Anybody ever heard of it? It's done by Oswald Chambers. And if anybody ever has a chance, it's an old book. It was written back in 1925 and then been reprinted. But anyway, if you read back through it, it's just journals this Christian man wrote about. And in his journals, there's a quote that I remember, and I wrote it down, and it says this, let the past rest, but let it rest in Christ. Amen? And leave all the broken things in his hands. And it says, and step into the future with him. Can I encourage you this morning? Let the past leave. Let a lying dog lie. But brother said, grab this morning a hold of the future. Step out into it and grab a hold of it. But do it in Jesus Christ. Do it in him. Let the past rest. Only God can take the time, the life, and the opportunity, and the relationships we have right now and multiply their impact beyond what we could ever expect. I know Tim right there told me, he said he was out on a lake one time fishing. Tim, who did you meet? That man right there. He come up to him and give him a, said, hey, listen, we're down at this church down there. Listen, can we all get into that? Listen, can we grab a hold of that, what God has done, and go out to a lost and a dying world and tell them? Listen, you're welcome at this church. Don't worry about the past. Come and let him grab a hold of you and step into the future with confidence. The past cannot be reversed, but in Christ, we can have a new beginning. We can have it. He was proof listen to me, the man, the thief on the cross, he was proof. You know why I say that for? Because he could not come down off that cross. He asked the Lord, he said, Lord, whenever you come into your kingdom, what did he say? He said, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And whenever he stepped out and whenever he died, he couldn't come down off that cross and do anything. But guess what? We still read about him 2,000 years. He's still affecting lives today. He's still touching lives because you know why? Because there is hope for everybody in this church here this morning. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, because we serve that God. No matter what wheelbarrow full of regrets and bad decisions you come willing in here this morning, no matter how or what you've messed up, remember, God is a God of new beginnings. He is. In other words, you know what? God will give you a chance 2, 3, 5, 7 times. He'll give you a chance. In other words, God is a God of grace. He is a God of grace. There is hope for me and you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He can make all things new in your life. He did it for me one time. He did it. God can restore what the locusts have eaten. And they may have eaten it for several years. He can do that. Years of drug and alcohol abuse. Years of that can devastate families. It can take a terrible toll. But can I tell you, God can restore what the locusts have eaten. A pastor by the name of George Woods. Anybody here know who George Woods is? Probably not. He's from down around Tampa, Florida. But anyway, he has been free from drugs and alcohol for 18 years now. And the thing I've read about, he has a podcast that's called The Sober Truth. That's what it's called. Where he tells how God had restored the years that the locusts have eaten. How drugs and alcohol had plagued his family. He had a sister that died in 2009 from drug and alcohol abuse. 7 months later, a brother died from drug and alcohol abuse. He was addicted to drugs and alcohol, tried to commit suicide 6 times. But praise God, he heard the message of salvation. He heard the message of reconciliation. And guess what happened? He got saved. And you know what God did? God's using him. He's got 2 ministries. He's got that podcast to save those people that are in drug addiction, that have lost so much that the years that the locusts have eaten. Praise God. God, he has used him to restore those years and draw people to know Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Years of fight. Listen, but praise God. He heard them. God, his life over to God, and God has restored the years. Folks, I think of those families that have been torn apart by divorce. I think of those families. And listen to me, years of fighting, feeling unloved, maybe a disrespect, and many times children involved, and they suffer the consequences of it. The locusts have ate at those people year after year after year. Can I tell you, anyone suffering through that type today, listen to me, and maybe you're on the verge of separation or even divorce, God is able to restore the years that those locusts have eaten. Only God can do that. Only God can give that love back between people. Only God can do that for the ones that are already divorced. There is hope for you this morning as well. But listen to me. It seems like the hurt will never stop. And you maybe think that God will never forgive. Can you remember the Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times? God never condemned her. What did he tell her? He said, no, you've been married 5 times and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You know what? How do I know that she was right? She went and testified of Jesus, and many people believed. You know what I feel one day? I feel one day we're going to see that woman in heaven one day. I feel we're going to see her in heaven one day. Jesus didn't condemn her. Remember the woman taken in adultery? And Jesus asked the question, he who be without sin, you cast the first stone. You cast it. And you know what they did? Every one of them threw their stones down. Because you know what? There's one. There's one that judges and he's righteous. And then he looked to her. He said, where are thou thy accusers? He said, no man accuses me, Lord. You know what he said? He said, neither do I. Neither do I. And brothers said, we don't need to condemn. We don't need to do that kind of stuff. Brothers, that God is able to take those years that the locusts have taken, and He can restore them years. He can give you hope in your family. He can give you trust. He can give you a new beginning. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we serve. Brothers and sisters, listen. Listen to me here this morning. We serve a God that's able to do that above and beyond anything that we think. Brother, all the years of living in sin and shame, all the years that the locusts have eaten, God can restore those years. Absolutely. He can do it. God had restored the years. I believe we'll see both of those women in heaven one day. I really do. We'll see them both up there one day. Only God can restore the years that the locust has eaten. Job lost everything. Job lost everything. You remember the story of Job? He lost everything except his wife and his health for a little bit, and then he even lost his health. He lost it all. And guess what happened? At the end of it, the Bible tells me that God restored everything plus more. Listen to me. All the locusts that was been eaten, all the locusts that ate away at his family, the locusts that ate away at everything he had. But guess what? Praise His name. Praise God. He can take and restore those years for you. Trust God to make all things new in your life. Can you do that this morning? And one more thing. You know what Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther, and John Brannan all have in common? Remember, you know who they are, don't you? They're famous theologians, famous authors from the past. They're all dead now. You know what they had in common? I didn't know this until I started reading about it. They'd all suffered from this depression, anxiety, and fear. Did you know that? Men of God, great men of God. And they suffered from it. 30% of Americans, 100 million Americans suffer from depression, anxiety, and fear. And the locusts eat away year after year after year. Can I tell you something here this morning? God is able to restore the years. He's able to. He's able to restore the years. I'm not telling you to give up medication. I'm telling you to not go to your doctor. What I'm telling you is, though, God is able to go even above and beyond all that. Because we serve that kind of a God. He's able to help you with your anxiety. My wife can tell you that when we first married, I'll tell you what, I had a lot of anxiety problems. I had a lot of things. But you know what I ended up had to do? I ended up had to give it to Him. I had to give it to Him. And you know what He's done? He has helped me. All those years the locust ate, all those years I lived in anxiety and fear and all the stuff that I lived in, I'm telling you what, I finally, God has restored those years. I thank you. I thank Him for that here this morning. I really do. Listen, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is able to take the locust that has eaten at you and turn it around. For all the thoughts. Listen, God is able to restore, but you've got to repent. You've got to repent. You've got to be willing to give it to Him. Years the locusts have eaten, and the message still stays the same. God is able to do above and beyond what you think He can do. Genesis 5:20, as for you, I remember the story of Joseph, don't you? And you know what happened to Joseph? His family had sold him into slavery. When he got into Egypt, he was falsely accused of rape, thrown back into prison. We all know the story. But listen to what Genesis 50:20 says. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. He's talking to his brother. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Your hurt and pain can be used for God's service if you let it be used for that. All of us in here have a story to tell. We have a story to tell. Praise God. There's somebody out there that needs to hear your story. They need to hear it. They need to hear what you've been brought out of. Need to hear what you've been brought through. And how that God have taken you through and held your hand and brought you through the years that the locusts were eating on you. I want to read the last two. I want to read 25 and 26 in Joel again. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise his name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Can I tell you something? Whenever God does the work in your life, you will be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. You won't be searching for. You know, the Bible says that there's only one way, and that's Jesus. There's no other sacrifice. Once you come to know him, listen to me, he can satisfy the thirsty soul. He said, he who comes to me shall eat and drink and never eat or never hunger again and never thirst again. You'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know why some people are never satisfied? Because they're still living in the flesh. Because they're still living in the flesh. I'm talking about the spiritual man. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I'm going to leave you with this. How many of you have seen the ServPro commercial on television? You've seen it, haven't you? You know what their tagline is? Like it had never happened. That's what their tagline is. God does them one better. Amen? Only God can take the years that have been ruined and make all things new again. That's his tagline. I don't know where. Julie, get a song this morning, please. I don't know what the locusts have ate from you. I don't know what sin has, what has happened in your life. I do not know. But I'm telling you here this morning, come up here this morning and let's pray. My Bible says he can restore the years that the locusts have ate. Not days, not hours. He can restore the years. He can do that. Whatever you're hurting about, whatever it may be, this is a no-judge zone. I hope you understand that. We don't judge people for coming to this altar. You come up here this morning and let's pray.